and welcome to New Every Day. My name's Carrie.
And my name's Jen. And on today's show, we're asking the question, so how do you get good soil? So stay tuned.
We are finally at the good soil.
So, a little bit of review. What are some, we talked about some internal things that affect growth. So things that are sort of on the inside of us. And we talked about how that is, for the most part, sin.
Okay, yeah. So those are the rocks?
The rocks. Like the sinful nature, the pride, the selfishness, sin. That's okay. Comes from the inside.
Okay.
Then we also talked, with respect to the weeds, external things that affect growth. Those things that are coming from the outside that affect us. So we talked about the deceitfulness of wealth and worries of this world. Those things are external.
Okay,
they come at us from the outside. We still have to process them on the inside, which are then affected by the rocks in our life.
Okay.
Right? But those are coming from the outside affecting us, whereas the sinful nature is coming from the inside.
Okay.
So the two of them working together, which often is what happens, causes us
not to grow.
And so the big question is, well, how do you actually have good soil then? Right? So how do you get rid of the weeds? We already talked about that. We talked about how to get rid of the rocks, but how do you actually nurture the soil so it's good, so you do produce a crop? And so that one passage that we are focusing on, verse 8 says, still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 3 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. And so Jesus responds to that. He interprets it in verse 23. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown.
So the key is in the understanding, right? Mm.
Because it says he understood, right? Who understands it is the good soil. But the seed that fell on the good soil is the man who hears the word, hears it. So there's an audible listening.
Okay.
And then there's the understanding it, right?
Okay.
Which is, whenever I think of that word understanding, I think of a cow chewing the cud.
Okay.
Because it has four stomachs. And so what actually happens is it eats the grass, swallows, goes down, but then it actually comes up again and he chews it again. Goes down, comes back up, chews it. Like, that's the chewing of the cud, right? And so he's ruminating on it. And so when we talk about understanding, it's this idea of, does that thought, does that God thought, that gospel message, I want to say, ruminate like that? Like, does it ruminate around in your head? And do you think about it? Do you ponder it? It's like listening to a message in church, which for us, church was yesterday. And we even said, okay, what is it that stands out from that message, right? So what are you ruminating on from that message, and how is that going to affect your life? That when we say he who, because it's hearing the word, but it's also understanding. It's that ruminating. I understand what this means. I'm going to apply it to my life. I'm going to, if you think about that cow again, he's going to get every ounce of nutrients out of that, right? He
yeah,
needs
right.
to chew on it a long time. He's right, ruminating, thinking about it, processing it. Now, if I have my idea of cow eating grass off, for the most part, it's right. It does have four stomachs. and it does take that long to process it, and it does chew and chew. So it's that same understanding. So I apologize to any farmers out there who I have it off, maybe.
But, I'm not going to correct you. I don't know.
So, but you have to hear the word, and you have to understand it.
Then I also think, Jen, doesn't Jesus say no one comes to the Father unless the Father himself draws him?
Yes.
So does God not prepare people's hearts?
Yes, he does. I'm just answering her question because she asked a yes or no question.
Okay.
Yes, the Father does draw us, preparing us, but creating a desire in us for him, for us to ask those questions, right? To seek him out, right? It says that the Father, through his grace, draws us to him. But our responsibility is then to actually receive it, right? It says that he heard it, right? He received the truth.
Yeah.
So yes, the Father, and that's part of the lavishness of the seed. Like he lavishly throws the seed, which draws us, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so he lavishly draws all people to himself. But it really is our, am I willing to pick it up? Am I willing to ruminate it? Am I willing to plant the seed firmly in my life and to grow out of it, to deny myself, which is what we talked about with regards to the rocks. Like, am I willing to deny myself and pick up my cross and follow Christ? And so, like, that's the retaining it by persevering. And to go over to Luke 18 for some further understanding, and you mentioned this a little bit in the last episode. Luke 15 says, but the seed on good soil stands for those of a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produces a crop. Right? So they've heard it, they've retained it, they've chewed on it, they've understood it, yeah. And they choose to keep it, and by persevering produces a crop. And so to persevere actually means, and I checked this out in the dictionary, it says to persist in anything undertaken, to maintain a purpose in spite of difficulty,
okay,
in spite of obstacles, in spite of discouragement, and to continue steadfastly.
Yeah. I can think of some older Christian people in my life that I know that they have just continued in what they believe.
Yeah.
They just have kept reading the Bible. They just have kept loving people. They've kept offering forgiveness. They kept being forgiven and just choosing to live that life, loving God, knowing that they have life in him. Like, it's been a long process for them. And I think for a while I was kind of getting discouraged because I saw some people, like people who I thought had been Christians a long time,
mm-hmm.
and yet they don't seem to be living this an abundant life.
Mm.
And I was like, what? You've right. been at this gig for 50 years and I don't see like a crop of 160 or even 30
right.
from just looking at your life. And these are people that maybe I don't know so well, but it wasn't obvious to me. I mean, if there's a bumper crop, it's like, wow, there's a bumper crop. That's good stuff being produced.
Right.
So I don't know, Jen. Like, I guess I was like, well, what happened? If you were good soil at one point, why now when I'm looking, do I not see this?
Well, and I think we read that passage and it says it produced 30, 60, or 100. I've listened to a couple different understandings of what that means. One preacher said, well, strive for the 100. You're like, what's
what
in your...
What does that mean? But like, what, when you say 100, 100 what? Like, well, what am I doing?
Right. But that's just it. It's like, what is that crop of 100? Does that mean that you've shared the gospel with 1,000 people?
Right.
And so, okay. Or you've only shared the gospel with 500 people and you've only shared the gospel with, you know, 200 people? Is that
but
what
is that
means?
Is that the measuring bar? Like, is the measuring bar sharing the gospel?
Or living this abundant life? Like, what does that mean? But it says producing a crop, right? So what is the crop? Well, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? The fruit of the Spirit. And John 15, 5 says, remain in me and remain, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing, right? So there's this idea that when we remain with Christ, we produce fruit. But I think we can get caught up with, I want to say, pointing the finger. Well, I don't see the fruit. I don't see the fruit in your life. I don't see the fruit in your life. And is it because we're looking for the hundredfold? But really, the fact that they go to work faithfully every day, that they witness to their friends faithfully every day, and, you know, they share the gospel with the person maybe that they're having a cup of coffee with, and yet that person goes on to produce, you know, they share their faith with, you know, 100 people.
Yeah.
Well, the fact is, they still were faithful to the opportunities that God gave them.
Like, someone shared the gospel with Billy Graham.
Right. But we don't even know who, well, I'm sure it says somewhere who that one person was. And then Billy Graham went on. And so then do we look at Billy Graham's life and go, oh yeah, that's a hundredfold life, but the person who only shared it with you because they only shared it with one person, well, that's only a 30-fold life. And so it's like, I think we can get striving, saying, well, I want to produce more fruit. But I'm wondering, because if you look at different types of fruit, like an orange will only produce, like, what, 5 or 6 seeds inside of itself? So it could only produce 5 or 6 trees out of that one. But a stalk of wheat has, like, 60 seeds in it. So then it can produce itself 60 more times because of the seed capacity that it has. And so, but when you just look at the orange, where you're like, well, it can only produce itself like 5 more times.
So you're likening that to someone may be an orange and someone may be a wheat?
Yeah. Like, I think the question is, are you actually producing to your capacity? Like, are you producing to what God has given to you? And that's, I think, part of the question that we need to ask, because he isn't poo-pooing the 30-fold or the 60-fold or the 100-fold. He's just saying, this is, are you, I guess the big question is, are you producing fruit? And so,
because even Jesus said, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, the Father cuts off and prunes so that it will be even more fruitful.
Right. So we're going to pause. We're going to come back right after this.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Well, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost, for just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on,
it's
on
true.
There. If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Welcome back. So glad that you are still in tune with us. Thank you also to Category 5 TV for making this show possible. And for all of our partners, go onto our website, neweveryday.tv, check out our partners page, scroll down, maybe see how you can support us or support those businesses that are so faithfully partnering with us. So Jen, where are we at?
We're having this conversation of what 30, 60, and 100-fold means. And to be totally honest,
I don't know.
We don't know. And I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, we need to be producing fruit to the capacity to which God says? It's like, what have you done with what you have been given? So I'm thinking of the parable of the talents, right? Where the owner gave one 10, one 5, and one. Well, why did he do that? Well, because he knew that the one who he gave 10 to was going to be faithful with the 10. And the one he gave 5 to would be faithful with the 5.
So and we're supposed to run as if we're going to be the winner of the race.
Yes. So it's like, if you're a marathoner, run the marathon. If you're a 5K-er, run the 5K. Like, whatever it is that you have the capacity to do, then do that.
You know what? I'm reading this book, actually from the 1900s, and I think I maybe talked about it before, but it's about, like, the work that you're doing, like, how to use the work you're doing, whatever it is, to honor God with it. So the one chapter talks about the drudgery of work, and sometimes in your job, like, maybe if you're, like, a PSW and you have to help people wash up often.
What's a PSW?
Personal support worker.
Okay.
You have to help people wash up, and it's a dirty job, and you might not like it, or you might, you know, be a clerk at Walmart, and people are unkind to you, and that kind of, like, drudgery of the day in, day out kind of not fun things. But the way that it's written is so beautiful because it likens the how it can be a sacrifice to not complain about those things, but to consider it an honor because of what Christ done and how much he sacrificed for us, that if we do that work in such a way with love and patience for the other people that we're interacting with, that essentially produces good fruit. Like, our love will be abounding more. Our patience will abound more.
Yes.
And we'll find that it becomes easier and easier to do that as we submit those things to God. So maybe that act of checking that person through the till who's really unkind, maybe that's your opportunity to produce that onefold or that twofold, you know?
And, well,
I don't know.
And we have talked a little bit about James, where it says, James 1, 2 to 4, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Isn't that interesting? Not lacking in anything. So it's like, how do you walk through those trials? Well, you do it with perseverance, like Carrie said, with kindness, and consider it joy that you actually have this opportunity, because it's going to produce fruit in you.
Yeah, and it's kind of like the day-by-day thing, in the moment-by-moment. And sometimes talking about Christian concepts, it can seem really, like, out there, and how do I actually apply this? Meanwhile, when I hit the street, or when I hit my job, or when I start talking to my family again, that's where the money is.
Yes.
It's in the conversation. It's in the thoughts that you have. Man, so many things to think about. Like, even as we keep going, we're like, we could talk about that. We could talk about that. But we're out of time. So we want to wrap this up and say thanks for tuning in. And maybe you can pray for us.
Yeah. So the three things we want you to remember is, am I ready to receive the word? And am I willing to obey it? And do I have the courage to follow it out? So we want you to think about those three things. That idea, am I willing to receive it? Am I willing to walk it out? And dear Jesus, give us the courage to obey it. So we want to leave that with you. We pray that the God of all goodness will draw near to you today. And as you, I want to say, ruminate on this passage, that he'll speak his truth into your heart, and that you will remain in him and he with you, and you will produce much fruit. Have a great week.